Okay, well, my text is there. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. I was sorting out some old newspapers the other day, and I came across a double-page headline. I don't really read the newspapers much. I just buy them a couple of times a week, mainly for puzzles to keep my brain from falling apart. So I was astonished, this double-page spread, and the headline was, "The Greatest Conversion Since Paul on the Damascus Road." I wonder, it was in June. I wonder if you can think what prompted that. I should come back to it, perhaps. There was a student conference one time. It was supposed to be a Hindu, myself, and a Muslim. The Muslim didn't turn up. So there was just Harry the Hindu and me. And the students were firing questions. And remember one brilliant question. "What had to happen, you two," he said, "what had to happen to you to become what you are today?" It's a brilliant question. And it was a brilliant question because Harry the Hindu had turned his life around. He had said how he'd been a hard-drinking, drug-taking, valley Welshman, and how he was now, and very aggressive, and now he was a nice guy. We had only had his word for it, whether he was a nice guy, but there he was, calmly sitting there with white mud from the Ganges River smeared on his forehead, saying he was a changed man. But the questioner wasn't happy with what Harry said, and he said, no, what I want to know is, what had to happen to you to become a Hindu? It was a great question, because Harry's answer was, nothing had to happen, nothing magical, nothing mystical, nothing spiritual. I just read a book on it, and I thought, I'll give it a go. And that was it. See, nothing had happened to Harry. Nothing of eternal value had happened to Harry. Oh, he'd turned his life around, but in the same way that dozens and dozens of people have turned their lives around, like countless fat people have turned their lives around and become the advert for Weight Watchers, or they lost 5 stone in a day, or whatever it was. The thing is, anyone can convert to anything. You can convert from being a glutton to healthy living, from being a drunkard to sobriety, from atheism to a church attender, from a church attender to an enthusiastic church member. Anybody can do that. Frank Skinner, comedian on TV, you all know who he is, was an alcoholic, still is. Fair play, he's honest, he's a recovering alcoholic, he doesn't touch it anymore. He went to the Catholic Church. He's kind of reverted or converted back to Catholicism. I've met people who become Muslims, become Buddhists, become Catholics, become Baptists, become whatever. And you all need to realize anybody can do it. Anybody can do that. Or you might need some willpower. But the power is within you to do that. See, I was watching, while we were away, there were some athletics on European Championships, and there was one where there's two fellas, you know, they stride for stride and they're just sprinting, you know, and neither will back down. The willpower, they're both tremendous willpower. You know, after 2 strides, I just said, oh, I'm tired, you go on. But no, the tremendous willpower. But the greatest conversion since St. Paul on the road to Damascus, you know what he was? Peter Stringfellow. He ran empty nightclubs in Soho. He'd converted to what? He'd become a nice family man before he died. The greatest conversion since Paul on the Damascus Road. But here's our text. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue in him. What a contrast with the wrong sort of conversion. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. Here's a miracle. You can't do it. You can't just decide, oh, I think I'll do that. And I'm talking to some teenagers over there some years ago. And they said, oh, I could become a Christian now. Well, go on then. Oh, I don't want to. And that's it. You don't want to. I said, try now. Go on. Try to love God now. Oh, but I can't. Exactly. You can't do it. You can't do it. See, Harry the Hindu, he'd read a book. That's all. Now, if you're sitting there and you've been there before, you might say, well, hang on, but you read a book, don't you? Yeah, I do. And you preach from it. Yeah, I do. But reading that book, learning verses from that book, that doesn't help me at all, eternally. There was a TV program some years ago where they said, here's the Quran, this is the rule book for Islam, for Muslims. Here's the Bible, it's the rule book for Christians. Felt like reaching into the screen and saying, no, that's not true. The Bible is not a system of, Christianity is not a system of rules for us to follow. It's life. We convert to Christ, the life of Christ in the soul of a human being. Once you have to receive Christ as Lord. His life now is connected to yours. The new life comes in. You're born again, the Bible says. And now you prove it because you continue to live in him. You're doing that? I know some of you. I'm asking you. You're doing that? Is that you? I remember a Muslim who converted to Christ years ago. A wonderful story. I remember he told. There was a meeting and there were loads of people from the Middle East, all across the Middle East, gathered there. And this converted, he was a Christian now. He'd been brought up as a Muslim for 20 odd years, but now he was a Christian. And he said, it's like this. And he told a brilliant story that they'd all understand. He said, imagine you employ Jess as a housekeeper. I employ Jess in my house, he says. She's paid well. She has lovely accommodation in the attic. She has ensuite, you know. She has a contract, a list of duties I want her to perform. Wash and iron my clothes. You know, clean the house, cook, whatever. But he said, imagine, eventually I fall in love with Jess. She falls in love with me. And eventually we marry. She's my wife. She still lives in the same house. And she may well still cook and clean. She may well still do a lot of those things on the list. But she does it because she loves me, not because there's a list of things. Now, all those people there, most Middle Eastern, people who were brought up with rules. 5 times a day, pray, you know, towards, go on the Hajj if you can, all those things. They understood this is a dramatic change from what they knew. See, she does those things. She may well do those things, but she does it out of a loving relationship now, not because she's ticking boxes, doing the rules. John 17, this is eternal life, to know you, the true and living God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. John 20, these things are written. Oh, yeah, the Bible's written for us to read. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that somehow, in some astonishing way, by believing, through believing, you have life in Jesus' name. Have you got life? Some of you have. I know. There's a lovely little book years ago, quaint book, and in one of the stories in the book, there's this vicar and his wife. They're nice people, they're religious, they're moral, but they're not Christians. They lived in a little village called Pulverbatch, and one day the wife meets these genuine Christians, and she realizes straight away they've got him, she hasn't got it. She knows she hasn't got it. She spends time with them. She talks to them, she reads the Bible with them, she prays to them, and eventually one day she is converted. She dances around the garden. She cannot believe, as Auntie Anne was saying in the story, she cannot believe that things are as good as this. She cannot believe she now knows God. She's on her way to glory. She has peace with God. She's saved. Her husband's still just a nice, religious guy. In the 19th century in Scotland, there was a fellow called Robert Murray McShane, a preacher. He wrote once about a lady who'd been coming to the church for a while. She knows she once was Christless. She knows she once was lost. Now she reads her Bible, she prays, she attends church regularly, but I fear it is all self-reformation. Now that could easily be some of you, couldn't it? See, you come to church regularly, perhaps very regularly. Maybe you come to the midweek meeting. Maybe you read your Bible. Maybe you say your prayers. So did that lady. It's not enough, is it? is not enough. That lady from Dundee, Harry the Hindu, Frank Skinner, and dozens and dozens and dozens of others, that's what all they've done. They've just turned their lives around. On the 24th of May, 1738, a very religious man went against his better judgment. He didn't want to go to this meeting. He was invited to a Christian meeting. He went, and this is what he said later. At about 9:15, the gospel truth impacted me. My heart was strangely warmed. His name is John Wesley. He's already a religious guy. He's an ordained Anglican, Church of England. He's been over to America a few times preaching. But now the gospel that he'd preached, bang, hits him. Now he's saved. And boy, what a difference. What about you? Remember a guy, Glenn, I'll call him. He came to church a few times. And I remember sitting him down after the gospel message like this and saying, what do you think? To be honest, Al, he said, it's all a bit boring. Sorry to offend. I said, no, you don't offend. It's boring because I am talking about a person you don't know. That's why you're bored. I'm enthusing about somebody you've never met. Now, Glenn tragically converted to church attendance. He was baptized and he became a member. But he hadn't converted to Christ, you see. Remember the disciples asked Jesus, who then can be saved? When that rich young ruler that Anne mentioned in the story, when he walks away, the disciples say, well, who can be saved? What does Jesus say? With people, with men, this is impossible. Oh, but with God, but with people, you can't convert when you feel like. You can't do it. God has to do something. I've met folks, they feel a bit guilty. They hear perhaps, oh, there's a possibility of hell or something like that. And they think, well, I'll just ask Jesus to, you know, thank you, Lord, that he died on the cross. I'll ask him to forgive me. And that's all they want. It's as if they walked up to Jesus, they got their get out of hell free card from him, and they walked back away because that's all they wanted. But true conversion is not like that. True conversion is you come to Jesus, you want to stay with him. You want to live with him. You want him to live in you. You want him to ring the changes fast because you hate what you are. You receive the life of Christ. You're rooted and built up in him. Do you see the difference? Do you? Some of you, I don't think you do. I remember I visited a Christian lady, we'll call her Lucy, in hospital years ago. And her son was there. He was in his mid-40s. I'd never met him. We'd never spoken to each other. I'd heard about him. Obviously, he'd heard about me. I walked into the, it was a private room. I walked into the room. As soon as I walked in, he turned his chair around and faced the window. So he sat with his back to me, made the gesture. He wasn't interested. She was very apologetic all the time I stayed. And he just stayed with his back to me the whole time I was there. And she kept saying, I'm awfully sorry, and so on. What had happened? What had happened was her son, Steve, we'll call him, had professed faith. Oh, I'm a Christian now. He was baptized. He joined the church. He began then to study theology. He thought he might be a preacher. But slowly, over a period of time, Steve's enthusiasm for the gospel waned, faded. And one day he said to his mother, it didn't work for me. It didn't work for me. And it, whatever it was, hadn't worked for him. Because it can't work for him. The only thing that can work for him, the only one who can work for him, is Jesus. See, he tried to convert himself. You have to receive Jesus as Lord. Now, why would anybody want Jesus to come as Lord? Well, you wouldn't unless you realize, I was particularly touched to something Idris said in his prayer, our world is broken. We broke it. Some years ago, David Cameron talked about broken Britain. Yeah, that's true. But you haven't gone further and said, yeah, you know why it's broken? Because we are in it. Have you come that far? See, unless you've come that far, why would you want Jesus to come as Lord? Unless you've realized, not only have you made a mess, you are a mess. What a selfish sinner you are when you come that far. And in desperation you say, Lord, save me, have mercy on me, or something like that. Have you seen how selfish you are? Have you seen how quick you are to criticize others? How quick you are to defend yourself? Have you? I've seen it some of the times talking to some of you. It's ugly. When we defend ourselves, we're so quick to pick holes in everything else. You know what that means? We need to be saved. That's what that means. Have you come that far? Never mind how you've badly you've treated God, but have you come that far? And have you then, in desperation, just called out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Come in, Lord. Take over the reins. Take over my life. Is it you? If it is, praise God. If it isn't, do it now. Do it now. Don't waste any more time. Amen. Ah, I'm saying this for a while. Jesus is King, and I will extol him. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder that angels in light just surround you and worship you. And thank you, Lord, that we can join with them, adoring you. What a God. What a Savior. Amen.